I want to remind you from Psalm 91. That was one of the words we got. Now, when God, I want everybody to understand this. When you get a prophetic word, that means God's telling you something before it happens. We got three of those as a church. Do you understand why I wasn't in fear at all? We got three of those. I'm afraid a lot of people don't understand what prophecy is. Prophecy is God speaking to you before something happens. And we got three of those, right? Three of those. One of which was confirmed from Africa. I mean, that's amazing that he took time out for this little body to encourage us and tell us, you don't have to be afraid. And he's done a good job taking care of our body. And then the other one is that he spoke that word to me. The illness was coming, but he would be working in the midst of it. So we've got three prophetic words to plant our feet on. And so we got a lot to be encouraged about. And I think that's really amazing. Of all the things God could have said or just left us in the dark, he didn't. Amen. So that psalm that he gave us twice, Psalm 91, "He who dwells in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. I will say of the Lord, he's my refuge, my fortress, my God. In him I will trust. Surely he will deliver you from the snare of the fowler, from the perilous pestilence. He shall cover you with his feathers. His wings shall take refuge." You should take refuge there. "His truth shall be your shield, your buckler." In other words, it'll be your front end, your back end. It got you covered. "You shall not be afraid of terror by night, nor the arrow that flies by the day, nor the pestilence that walks in the darkness, nor the destruction that lays waste in noonday." Woo! Some trust in chariots and horses. "A thousand may fall at your side, 10,000 at your right hand, but it shall not come near you." Now, I'm going to jump over to Psalm 93 because that's what got quickened to me this morning. Look at this. "The Lord reigns. He is clothed with majesty. The Lord is clothed. He has girded himself with strength. Surely the world is established so that it cannot be moved. Your throne is established from old. You are from everlasting. The floods have lifted up, O Lord. The floods have lifted up their voice." The floods have lifted up. Don't you feel like that's what's happened? We're getting voices, floods from everywhere. But listen to what he says. "The floods lifted up. The floods lift up their voice. The floods lift up their waves. The Lord on high is mightier than the noise of many waters." What a word. "Than the mighty waves of the sea. Your testimonies are very sure. Holiness adorns your house, O Lord, forever." Say it with me. Some trust in chariots and horses, but we trust in the name of the Lord. Appreciate all of you coming out today, and I'm really thankful for those of you who have continued to support even during this difficult time. You've helped us be able to keep the ministry going and take care of our missionaries and all that. We're so thankful for all. So many of you have been very faithful during a hard time, and we really appreciate that. For those of you that are coming online or in-house for the first time in a while, I'm ready. So we're trying to get gooder at all this. So but you'll be encouraged when you hear all the things that have been going on with what God. This kind of forced us into a place that I believe God was trying to get us to go, and I'd been prophesied over since I was a young boy. So we are going live around the world now. So as we welcome those folks in, we want to let everybody know that we've changed some stuff. You can see. And things are going on, trying to make more room for the worship team, for me, for those cameras that are hanging from the ceiling there, and so we can still see the board and all that kind of stuff. So we are live, and we welcome everybody from around the world. We know that our podcast and our video is going in almost 40 countries now around the world and most of the United States, and we're glad to be a part of your lives. We're thankful some of you have tied into this ministry already, since we've been coming out of there with this. And so we're so thankful for you, all of you that have got on board and tied into this ministry by hearing God's word. And some of you have began to support that, and we really appreciate that. We are a word-based church. Everything's built around the Word, and nothing is more important than the Word. The Word, the Bible says in Psalm 133, I believe it is, that God said He's magnified His Word above His name. So today is the day of Pentecost, and as I address all of you that are here and those that are listening around the world, we thank you, and we want you to remember today's Pentecost. And Pentecost is a day when the church was born. Out of His side came the life that you and I have been given, and we are part of the bride. If you know Jesus Christ, if you name His name, you and you're a follower of Jesus Christ, if you've been born again, you are part of that bride. And so we're thankful for today. And what I have said just before we came on live is that we really need the Holy Spirit like they had the Holy Spirit on the day of Pentecost. Pentecost was a feast that Israel held, and it would typify the outpouring of the Holy Spirit, the ingathering of the harvest, and all of that kind of stuff. And we are certainly on the cusp of the Lord returning, so we've got very little time to continue to bring in that harvest. Let us remember that we don't have to do it alone, the Holy Spirit. And we're going to talk about the Holy Spirit some more this morning as we look at what I started last week. The Holy Spirit is your friend, but He's also your source of power, your source of guidance, and all of that. He's your corrector, rebuker, reprover, all of that. The Holy Spirit is all of that. He is a safe place to dwell. And He needs you to allow Him to dwell in you and I in His fullness. He wants to dwell in us in His fullness so that we can not only have a taste of God, but we can be filled with God. Can somebody say amen to that? So in Acts chapter 2, they celebrated Pentecost, and as they were celebrating, the Holy Spirit came, and that's what we need more of today, especially in the kind of world we live in. Let me touch on this before I get it back into what I was sharing last week, and that is that we have a world in chaos for many reasons, and some of them are bad, and some of them are people had no control over, and but that's the result of sin. That's what happens when sin. I got news for you. It's not going to get any better. It's going to get worse. As we race toward the end of time, men are going to get more darkness. There's going to be more trouble. Jesus told us all these things. So we got to be the people that don't trust in chariots and horses, but trust in the name of the Lord. That's the people we've got to be. And so as we grow through our faith, each season like this calls us to grow in our faith, and that's what we got to do. Every time we face an obstacle, we need to lean on the Lord and grow in our faith. And that's what we're going to talk about some this morning as well. So if you have your Bibles, go back to 3 John verse 2. 3 John verse 2, and I'm going to show you a couple of things here. And I did bring Elvis back to church this morning. Oh, wrong side. Elvis is in the building. So I brought Elvis, and we're not really going to talk about Elvis. We're just going to use him as an illustration again, because I want to really put this into your heart and mind. In verse 2 of 3 John chapter 1, it's only one chapter, verse 2, "Beloved, I pray that you may prosper in all things and be in health just as your soul prospers." Now, there's a connection there, right? There's a connection between your soul prospering and prospering and being in health, right? So we defined this word last week, suche, and it's the word that's translated soul, all right? There's a difference between your soul and your spirit. They are used interchangeably. I'm going to tell you why from time to time in the Scripture, but there is a difference. And then the other one we talked about, I'm going to give you a stronger definition this week than I did last week. Pneuma, which is the word that's translated spirit. So those two words are two different words. They are linked together heavily, but we're going to look at how the Bible teaches us about our soul and our spirit. Now, we're going to get some stuff going on here now. We're going to get a pulpit you can see through. We're going to get this stuff on the board, so just bear with me as we get better at what we're doing. Pneuma is the one that's translated spirit, and it's invisible. Pneuma, or spirit, is a lot of times contrasted with the wind. Now, if you think about the wind does a lot of things, but it's invisible. And that's how your spirit is kind of referenced here. Influenced by the Holy Spirit, all right? We are a spiritual being. Once we've been born again and our spirit has come to life by the Holy Spirit taking up residence there, we now have spiritual inroads. We have the ability to live and walk and breathe in the Spirit. It is a, the Spirit is a, and I like this terminology that I found as I dug. Now, I've had to do a lot of work with this stuff. I've spent a lot of time, not just in the Scripture in Greek and Hebrew, but also I've been studying science. I've been studying a lot of things to get us to where I can share this stuff with you. So it's a game changer. It's changing my whole life for the better. And it says, pervading influence. That's another part of the definition of the Spirit, a pervading influence. And here's one that really got my attention. A spiritual import brought in by another source. All right, I want you to think about that. Spiritual things, what is pneuma? It is an import of life from another source. I want you to think about that. I want you to write that down if you got a chance. Your spirit is an import of life from another source. All right? Now, we do know people get demon possessed, right? So people get, they can house a demon. But God's goal is to possess us Himself, right? So that's what we're talking about this morning. Now, the soul is where your mind and your will and emotions are seated, all right? And redrew this morning. And this is something I've changed about this chart. If any of you have seen me talk on this before, I've got greater revelation now than I had. I've made this a dotted line, a broken line, right, with the Spirit, because the Spirit and the soul are pretty entangled, all right? And so how do we separate them? Let's go to Hebrews chapter 4. Hebrews chapter 4, I'll show you how they're separated. Verse 12, Hebrews chapter 4, verse 12. Now, I'm going to get back to the soul in just a minute and describing it. You can see what's going on in the soul with those three words there. But in verse 12 of Hebrews 4, it says, "For the word of God is living and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the division of the soul and the spirit." That's the only thing that can divide the soul from the spirit is the word of God. How important is the word of God? Science can't do it. In fact, your soul is going with you when you leave the body. It's not just your spirit. Your soul and your spirit, because your soul is your consciousness. And your consciousness is leaving with you when you go. Now, they can be separated, but only by the word of God. All right? But your soul, so people who wind up in hell will have a consciousness, a soulless realm that's experiencing all that. Same thing for those who go to heaven. So what I want to tell you, what I've found is the secret to having power with myself. This is what's been going on in my life the last 3 months that's changing. This is why I talk to myself now. Used to, if I talk to myself, people, I don't care what they think now, because I'm using the Word of God on this inner man, this soulish man. I talk to him before he goes to bed. I talk to him when he gets up. And I give him commands. All right? Now, here's what happens. This soulish man is made up of your mind, will, and emotions. Before you were born again and your spirit was dormant, you still operated in a soulish realm. Your soul is where your spirit gets its seat, and that's where he wants to take charge. Because your soulish man is where you make decisions. All of us made decisions before we were ever born again. So we worked. In fact, I'm going to show you a word in the Hebrew in just a minute that equates that with the animals. All right? Now, we know we're on a higher form than the animals. We are the highest form of God's creation, but we still operate, they still operate with a soulish realm and a mind. An animal don't have the spirit like we do, but they got a soulish realm and a body. All right? So this animal, that's the word that we're going to see in just a minute is used for animals and humans, because it's not talking about the inner being, that import of a spiritual life from another source. All right? That's how you get alive. That's how you get born again. It's when you get an import from the Holy Spirit into your man, and he's now seated inside of you, designed to take control of your life. But the Bible teaches us, and I'm going to give you a few corrections. One of them is, old things are passed away, all things are new. The Greek doesn't say it like that. Here's why. Because your soulless man has still got some junk laying around. Am I talking to anybody that's real in the building? When you get saved, you just walked out of darkness. All of your life, you made your own decisions. You've done your own thing. Now you got saved and you're surrendered, and now you're supposed to surrender to His life. The Bible, the Greek says it like this: old things have passed away, all things are becoming new. So you and I now have been asked to renew our minds, our soulish man, that part of our soulish man, renew him with the Word of God, right? That's what the Bible teaches us to do. When somebody gets saved under my tutelage, the first thing I do is take them to James, and I say, eat this book of James till you can't eat it anymore. Get understand what faith's about, understand what obedience is about, get it in your heart and in your mind. That's the first place I take a new convert, is to the book of James. And I say, you right here is where you need to live for the next 6 months if you can. Just eat this book of James until it saturates your whole life. And then when that happens, now you've got born again. Now this spirit desires to grow. He desires to grow so much that he wants to overtake the whole person. He wants to take the soulish realm. He wants to take over the body and everything, so that Paul said we don't even use our members as members of instruments of unrighteousness anymore. Right? How is that possible? It's possible when this new import of spiritual life sets into your body and you start giving him room to take over. That's what we need to do. You know what the Holy Spirit's job is in us? To conquer us. His desire is to conquer us so that we no longer live the rest of our time sojourning here, Peter said, to the things of the world. Taste and all the things that cater to the flesh. He said, we want you to get in a spot where the Spirit controls your life. And that's what God's desire is. Now, in Hebrews 4, he says, the Word of God is the one that can separate the soul from the spirit of the joints and the marrow, and is a discerner in the thoughts and the intents of the heart. Now, I want you to go to Proverbs with me, Proverbs chapter 23. I'm going to show you why the soul and the spirit are so intertwined and why sometimes they're used interchangeably. And in Proverbs chapter 23, let's look at verse 7. Proverbs chapter 23, verse 7. There's a discourse going on here, but there's a revelation here in verse 7. It says, for as he thinks in his heart, so is he. Eat and drink, he says to you, but his heart is not with you. Now, when you see that word heart, you're going to be challenged to decide whether that's the spirit or the soul. And in some cases, it could be either or. But in this case, it is the soul. And it is the Hebrew word. I'll do that for my benefit, not yours. Nephesh. And this word nephesh, that's translated heart there, is used both with humans and animals because they're talking about the soul. Now I want you to think about that for a minute. As a man thinks in his soul, he is. We have so disregarded God's word in the culture we live in today that nothing's a sin anymore, almost. In fact, You'll notice this because we've all had to endure the news for the last X number of years, because there's more news channels than there are anything anymore. Nobody lies anymore. Do you know that? Nobody in Washington, D.C. lies. They just misspeak. Have you noticed that? Both sides. I ain't not here to pick fights with anybody. We have so watered down God's truth. And when we've got almost allowed our mind to just do its own thing, thinking it's not affecting our spirit. But they're so intertwined, they do affect one another. And in fact, your soulish man is who we are. He says, as a man thinks in his soulish realm, he is. Now, don't you think about that anymore for a minute. How well do you govern your thought life? How well do you take care of your thought life? How do we do that? We do that with the Word of God. When I come after our thought lives, most people are thinking the big stuff. I'm not going to just think the big stuff. I'm thinking the little stuff. How much does fear control you? How much does doubt control you? How much does unforgiveness, how much does whatever, the lust of the world or whatever, how much of that controls your thinking? Because as a man, that's why when he says soul about sending somebody to hell, he uses the word soul because God's already told us that whatever a man thinking is what's really in his heart. I know I wouldn't get very many amens on that. Whatever a man's thinking is revealing what's in his heart. And so that's why they're interchangeable. That's why they're so entwined. As a man thinketh, so is he. Well, I went to Sunday school when I was little, but now you're a junkyard dog. And nobody can get around you because your mind is warped. And you think, and you think, and you think. Pretty soon that thinking, and here's Elvis. Pretty soon that thinking creates an album, don't it? That's what happens. This is what happens in the soulish man. Listen, how many of you like Dolly Parton? I like her. She's good. She seemed to be a good lady for the most part. But I can play this Elvis album all day long, and I'll never hear Dolly Parton off this. It'll just be Elvis. See, this is now I'm going to get into some heavy stuff because that's how addiction works. They keep playing that same old song in their soulish man, and pretty soon, your soulish man, the inner part of your soulish man, let me show you something here. I'm going to show you something else. Hang on, Elvis. Your soulish man is also divided in two. Now, your spirit man and him are intermingled, but your soulish man has a consciousness, and what science, and I've shared some of this, they call it a subconscious. You have a subconscious, right? I call that an inner man. They call it a subconscious. That inner man don't make any decisions, all right? The inner part of your soul man, he don't make decisions. He works with what he gets. Your outer soulish man, the consciousness, he's the one making decisions. That's why he needs to be heavily influenced by the Word of God, the Holy Spirit, good people, good, right? Well, Paul said evil communications corrupt good manners, right? But the Holy Spirit actually said that. Paul wrote it down. That in Corinthians, he said evil communications. So the more evil stuff you allow to come into your mind, whether it's friends or media or doubt, or more that comes into your mind, the more the song gets wrote. All right? So this song, and so what happens with an addict, or not just an addict, but anybody that's out of balance or going the wrong direction, what happens is they keep feeding the half of that inner man that don't make decisions, just works with what he gets. They keep feeding him the same thing. Pretty soon, he starts charting a course for that life that way. Because this is the only song he can play. Right? And the outer man should be being prompted by this new life that's been infused in him by the Holy Spirit. But sometimes that's not the case. And that's where the real battle takes place, because the Holy Spirit's wanting you to play a new song and this old song still wanting to play its song. And that's why we got to renew our minds. That's why we got to renew ourselves daily, because this old song will like to play. And I'm going to give you an illustration of myself in just a minute here. This spirit man's come to life. This old soul man's been used to playing Elvis, this red album. Well, he needs a new song, right? It's still Elvis on that side, but he needs a new song. The soulish man needs a new song. How does he get a new song? That's what I'm going to lead you into. When your inner man gets information, he works with it. I'll give you an experience. You try this without ordinary circumstance, outside of ordinary circumstance. If you tell yourself, and this is true, if you tell yourself you need up at a certain time in the morning, you'll wake up before the alarm goes off. You know why? Because you're talking to that inner man. He gets commands. He just works with what he gets. How many know what I'm talking about? Makes me so mad. So now you're getting a little taste of why I started talking to myself more. Because before I go to bed, I give my inner man a few instructions. Because down in there, he's alive and he's working with what he gets. I gave this story before, but there's a young lady who went to high school and she was 17 years old. She came home every day and she ran upstairs, would lock herself in the room for 30 or 40 minutes and come out. After this went on for a while, her mother got concerned. Her mother confronted her and said, "Now listen. Said, every day you come home from high school, you run straight upstairs and you don't come out of your room for 30 or 40 minutes. What is going on? Is there something going on?" She said, "Mother," she said, "I go to high school. I'm exposed to so much evil that when I come home, I go get in the Word of God for 30 or 40 minutes to remind myself that that's not how God thinks, that's how the world thinks. And you're talking about an awesome 17-year-old daughter. She said, I renew myself to God's Word to remind myself that that's not how, that what I was experiencing for 7 hours is not reality. What I'm holding in my hand, that's reality. And that's what we need to do as Christians, right? We need to renew our minds so that we don't get bombarded with things. This soulish man is taking orders from you. This inner soulish man is getting orders from you. And it's dependent on how much you allow your spirit man or person to grow and how much you allow your mind to wander, right? And get involved in other things. So your soulish man that's down in here keeps working with what you give him. If you give him things that cause addiction, he's going to keep working till finally he's going to have an album that's all it plays is addiction. I've had people like that whom I've loved, whom I've buried, that they couldn't get the record player turned around. They could not get the song off, right? Because they weren't willing to pay the price, partly. They weren't setting themselves up to succeed like Paul talks about in Romans 6. But they just kept playing that song so long, this inner man kept driving them that way because that's all he ever got. That's all he ever got. I buried some people that they were so consumed with that it drove them. That's all they could hear was that one song. That's what's driving addiction. Is they've allowed that soulish man to be programmed. And I'm going to get into all that. I'm getting some answers because I've been asking God and fussing with God about it. I said, I want to go deeper here. I want some answers. And I want you to show me this stuff so I can help people and so people can be helped. But this soulish man is getting whatever you take him. And for instance, my wife will tell you this. Going on 6 weeks now, I've played a different song in my soulish man to exercise. I have a lot of long days. I've had more long days in the last 3 months than I've had in my whole career. I have a lot of long days, and sometimes if I get in at 11 o'clock at night, you know what I do? I get on the treadmill. I don't care how late it is, because I know if I let up for one day, I'll start playing Elvis again. Right now, I'm playing, what's the guy used to exercise on TV all the time? Richard, who? Richard Simmons. I switched albums. For my health, I have switched albums. I switched from Elvis. Actually, I switched from Paula Deen's album to Richard Simmons. Okay? When I started playing that song, now I'm trying to program my guy that when he comes in, no matter how late it is, that he's going to go straight to that treadmill. Now, what else have I been doing? Now, I'm just telling on myself, okay? What else I've been doing, before I go to bed at night, I speak to my man, inner man, to heal certain parts of my body. Do you know, I don't want to take you too hard and too fast, your brain is unbelievably, some of you ain't showing it, but it's unbelievable. Some of us, I'll throw me in there. Some of us ain't showing it, but it's really nice. Your brain has the ability to do so much. In fact, scientists believe if Adam and Eve hadn't fallen in the garden and we could use the full capacity of the brain, we probably could do things like certain creatures do, like if you lost a finger, you could grow one back. I don't doubt that. We're the highest of God's creation. What happened with Adam and Eve was they were living in the spirit, and then they took a jump by themselves, took the fruit, they went to the soulish man. That's exactly who the devil appeals to, right? The soulish man. He don't want you to be involved in anything eternal. He wants you to be involved in the soulish realm. And so he come at Eve and said, look, touch, taste. That's all soulish stuff. Trying to get her soulish person to go along with it, attracting to the flesh. And they did. And when they did, they stepped into a soulish realm. Now all of us are challenged with our soulish man, because you know why? Because we're all right and we're all smart. Right? We all think that. Right? But the Bible tells us, let's go to Proverbs chapter 3, verse 7. Just flip over back a few pages to Proverbs chapter 3, verse 7. And I'm going to get back to some of this. I'm trying to teach you what I'm learning. Do not be wise in your own eyes. Fear the Lord and depart from evil. Back up to verse 5. Trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding. Now that is a challenge in the world we live in, right? Because you're going to get all kinds of voices. We're all going to get all kinds of voices. But he says to us, lean not unto your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct your paths. Do not be wise in your own eyes. Now you think about that for a minute. Think about that. God's telling us there's a higher place to live than just this soulish realm, right? Your soulish man has some good ideas from time to time, but your soulish man never, I want you to get this clear, he never operates with full disclosure. Never. None of us do. And that's why in my going through this situation the whole world's been in, I'm not criticizing anybody for any decision they've made or our governor or our president. This is totally, nobody could have saw this coming. And I'm not fully disclosed on why, who, or who, why makes decisions. I make my own decisions. That's what you have to do. If you want to wear a mask, wear a mask. If you don't want to wear a mask, don't wear a mask. That's a personal decision between you and God. I refuse to be a health advisor because the ones that have been have changed their minds so many times, we don't even know what to do now. Now the World Health Organization says don't wear a mask and CDC says wear one. Just trust the Lord and obey him. That's what I teach. I teach faith. I don't teach medicine. I don't teach science. I teach faith. And I'm teaching you to trust in the Lord. That's what I teach. And so we have to lean on God and trust him. If you lean on your own understanding, you'll make bad decisions eventually. You may make a few good ones, but eventually you'll make some bad ones. The reason is we do not have full disclosure in any decisions. They gave up paradise to make their own decisions. How stupid was that? But that's what's driving the whole world now. That's what's driving the whole world. Is our own selfish ways, our own decisions. That's what drives the whole world because we fell with them in the garden. The soulish man is a dangerous man. He brought us into much sorrow when he made his decision. And that's the challenge for all of us, the soulish challenge. Our own understanding, I want to give you a quote I read. Our own understanding never bears the full weight of reality. You understand that? You can criticize me for making the decisions I made during all this, but you don't know why I made them. Can I get one amen? Same for me. That's why I don't criticize anybody. Everybody, that's the last letter I sent out was about everybody stands or falls to their own master. That's you got to make your decision. That's what Christianity is about. You have a direct line with the Holy Spirit. And so this soulish man is going to try to interrupt all of that if the flesh gets the most influence or if the soulish man is left intact from his old life. So now the Spirit's come to life. You have had an impartation, an import. I like the word I read in studying that word. An import of an infusion of the Spirit from another source. And that's the Holy Spirit. Now that you're alive inside of there, what are you going to do with this soulish man? You can't keep thinking like the old guy, right? You can't keep doing it. And I've shared this story before, but it fits here. One of my buddies was over by the river baptizing a guy, and as he was headed down, he was a very rich man. He got saved, gave his heart to Christ, and he had one of those wallets that needed a chain on it. You know what I'm talking about? You got a lot of money if you got a wallet with a chain on it. And as he was headed to the water, his wife called to him and said, "Hey, your wallet's in your pocket." And he turned, and the whole crowd that was there on the river, which is a testimony, he turned and looked at his wife and said, "That's going under too. I'm taking it under too. I'm surrendering." See why? Now, what happened if his whole life, and I've had people that have lived like, we know people live, his whole life was governed by riches, right? whatever, and now he's going to surrender everything. Doesn't mean he didn't come out of the water poor, but he came out of the water with his soul changed. Now he's got to keep playing that record. If he don't keep playing that record, right? And so that's what happens to us. This is how addicts get formed. I can't say that enough. Now, there's a verse that's troubled me for 30-some years. And maybe you had a handle on it. You should have come and told me. But there's a verse, and I'm not going to get into this morning. I'm just going to wet you whistle with it. He said, you live in the Spirit. Now walk in it. Most of us just read over that and said, oh, that's good teaching there. Yeah, but what does it mean? How can you live in it and not walk in it? I'm showing you. People living in it, they've been born again, they're still letting their soulless man control their life. Amen. Still letting their mind, their will, and emotions determine how they're going to live. That's not who we're called to be. We're called to be the people that are, you know what? When you get this soulless man where he's supposed to be and your spirit starts taking over your life, you become more A everything. You become more A of everything. And what I mean by that is, you don't get worried about this, that, and the other because you really buy into who's in charge. And that's what's been going on in my life for the last 3 months. I've really been buying in to who's in charge because it sure shows you that we don't have control of things, right? What we've been going through. I'm really buying into who's really in charge. And it's the one that governs my life. He's the one that gave me life. He's the one that will decide when I'll leave this life. I'm buying into his word. I'm going to hang my word on everything he says and does. So this quote says, none of us have understanding, none of our own understanding ever bears the full weight of reality. We don't know everything, but we know someone who does. And think of this. This is what we got to let get into us. He's living inside here. The one that knows everything is living inside of me. My wife and I were out of town for 3 days last week. We choose not to wear a mask. We take care of ourselves. I wash my hands. I don't have a fingerprint left. But we stepped into a little alcove of a store, and some lady come out of the back to wait on us, coughing in the air. We just turned and walked out. That's how we take care of ourselves. Some trust in chariots and horses. We just turned and walked out. The Lord is showing us with just one little virus that we really don't have a control of anything. We really don't. And so we're going to have to grow in our trust of him because this thing here is small compared to what's coming. You all heard me teach on the book of Revelation, what Jesus told us coming. So every opportunity we do this, we get like this, we should go. We should grow in our faith because none of us have full disclosure on anything. They gave up paradise. They gave it up. Now, I want you to turn with me to James chapter 1. I'm going to close this morning because I can load you up with this stuff, but I want us to get it because when we get a hold of this, it's changing. It's game changer. This is like that prayer journey. If I can be skilled enough to share it with you in a way, if the Holy Spirit will help me, basically is what I need. James chapter 1, let's look at verse 21. Therefore, lay aside all filthiness and overflow of wickedness and receive with meekness the implanted word which is able to save your souls. Everybody see the word soul there? What did he talk about again? The word. What's he wanting us to do? Get rid of the filth. Now see, and that means you're thinking. You got to get rid of the filth in your thinking. Therefore, lay aside filthiness, overflow of wickedness, and receive with meekness the implanted word which is able to save your souls. Get rid of the filthy stuff in the soul realm. Here's where the dichotomy lies. Here's where the trouble lies. A lot of folks are using their soulless man as a garbage dump. They just let anything and everything come in there. And they're saying, well, I'm okay, even because I'm not actually acting it out. And Jesus talked about that, didn't he? He said, if your eye offends you, cut it out. If you whatever. Talked about you could look upon a woman and lust and commit adultery without ever doing anything in the physical, right? So he talks about this soulish realm here, right? So if you let all this thinking go on in here, all this stuff in here, and you're not walking it out in your body, this is still who we are. Now, I'm talking about being with tempted and deflecting it. I'm talking about people who just let this stuff come in and control their lives. Now, there's a way for us to overcome this, and that's how I'm going to take you in our preaching and teaching. But this soulish man, he's got to be corrected. Now, this Holy Spirit has taken residence in here, right? The Holy Spirit has taken residence in here. So folks can say, well, I'm not acting it out. Well, Jesus said you don't have to act it out, right? He really said that. But as a man thinketh. Now, what could be in this soulish realm could be any number of things. It could be lewdness. It could be fear. It could be doubt. It could be all kinds of things in that soulish man that's trying to hinder your progress, trying to keep your spirit man from coming to life. And this soulish realm is the one that needs some attention. Now, your flesh is going to try to influence him. And your spirit man, as he gets gross, he's going to try to do the influencing. Right? And that's what we need to let happen. We need to let this soulish man be influenced by the Spirit. Now, this soulish man, listen to what he says. He says in verse 21, therefore lay aside all filthiness, overflow of wickedness, receive with meekness the implanted word which is able to save your souls. Be doers of the word and not hearers only. What? What? Deceiving yourself. In other words, if this soulish man don't get his act together, he's going to impact the whole guy. And so this body will eventually walk it out. But even though this body's not walking out, and here's the problem. Now, I've shared this with you before. When there's two words and they're spelled differently, they mean different things, right? Sin and iniquity. Now, they're a lot like soul and spirit. They're intertwined, but they're a little bit different. This is where iniquity is going on, right there in the soul. The sin may not be walked out until he can convince the body to go along with it, but this is where all the iniquity takes place, right there in the soulish realm. How important is it to keep your mind? I met a lady one time, very older lady, loved the Lord, and we were discussing offenses. All that was being discussed, offenses, unforgiveness, and all that kind of stuff. She said, everybody loves me. That's the record she played for herself, so she wouldn't be offended at anyone. Everybody loves me, she said. That's the record she had formed. That way she wouldn't get offended at people, wouldn't get angry at people. She had love. Conquers all, don't it? And she had built that record inside of her, that way she'd keep her from being offended. We got to take care of our soulish man. In the church, as believers, we cannot allow our soulish man to be pushed around by anything and everything, because it's affecting our spirit man, because they're intertwined. So, if you want to know if I've lived in fear for 3 months, the answer to that's no. And the reason I haven't is because of the three prophecies we got right before this hit. If you want to ask me if I've lived in a conscious awareness that the disease is around or the virus, yes, I have. But I've not let it keep me from doing what God's asked me to do. So this is where the battle's at. And I'm going to come back to this next week. This is where the battle's at, right here. And half of your soul is exposed to the elements. Now hear this. Half of your soulish man, the conscious part where your mind is at and your emotions, your mind, your conscious part of that soulish man or that inner man, he's exposed to the elements. He's exposed to what he sees, hears, feels, and all that. The other part of your inner man is not what the world calls the subconscious. He's not exposed to those elements. He only works with what you give him. So this outer consciousness, this mind that you and I have, this outer part of the soul realm that actually makes decisions, right? I'll give you another example before I close. you're pre-programmed. Your soulless man's pre-programmed to do certain things, or you wouldn't breathe or your heart wouldn't pump. That stuff don't happen on its own. You're a being. You're not a 3D print-off from some nice computer they created in the world. You're a being. And you, as a born as a being, you're pre-programmed. Your conscious man, your subconscious man down in there is pre-programmed to do certain things for you already. And so he is at our disposal if we feed him the right stuff. Because your spirit man is alive now, and he should be getting the right stuff. And once he starts getting the right stuff and starts overcoming the old stuff, old things are passed away, all things are becoming new. When that happens, then this soulish man becomes the servant to the spirit. The older shall serve the younger. That's how it works. And so this body, your body's a piece of junk. Do you know it? Mine too. But you know why? I don't, no disregard to God. God created a beautiful thing. But we got exposed to sin. We were born into sin. So this body ain't going nowhere. He's going to decay, and you're going to get a new one. All right? He is only a house for the soul and the spirit. When the spirit and the soul leave, the body's falling over. All right? So this body is the servant to whomever. Whomever has the power. That's why demons are real. If somebody gets an import into their spirit from a demonic spirit, and it happens, and I've dealt with that a few times in ministry, and we read about it in Scripture, and we have Stephen in Africa deals with it all the time. You get somebody infused, imported with a demonic spirit, then that demonic spirit will start to take over, mess with their thing. But that's why you can run across somebody who's got a demon, not that we do that every day, but that you can run across with somebody who's got a demon, and they'll make some sense because they still got a soulish man that operated before the demon showed up. So that's why they play both fiddles when they're demon. You know, some of those demons come and act like no big deal when Jesus showed up. Then Jesus called them out, and they'd start going nuts. Right? Here come that woman, that soothsayer, aggravating Paul and Silas. She looked like she was fine. Paul turned around and said, I ain't putting up with this. Cast the devil out of her. She had a demon in her. Got through in jail for casting a demon out. This import, and so what happens, even if it's a demonic spirit, it starts controlling this person and taking over their body. Because that body's just a servant there. That body is a servant to serve you. God gave you a temple, and he gave you a body so that he could house himself, and your spirit and soul would be in there, and he would come and take his seat with us, which is beautiful, and help us overcome and be the people he's called us to be. But this body is a servant to the will of God. It's supposed to be a servant to the will of God. That's why Paul said, and we'll get into this later, he said, no longer yield your members as members of instruments of unrighteousness, but yield them as members of righteousness to God. There's going to be deliverance in what I'm teaching you. You can be delivered. If you've got something going on inside of you that you hate, and I'm talking to everybody around the world, you can be delivered. You can be set free. The Bible's filled with freedom. He come to set the captives free. But you cannot treat your soulish man, and here's what I'm going to say to you. I'm going to say this to everybody under the sound of my voice. You cannot treat your soulish man independent of your spiritual man. That's what's killing the church. That's what's killing the world. They're treating their soulless man acting like you can think anything, digest anything in that soulless realm, and no big deal. That's not the way it is. The Bible says for us to avoid certain things, right? Not even mention them. There's things the Bible tells us not to even talk about. Not to be around. Witchcraft said, don't even dabble. Don't even be around it. Don't even get around it, he said. Can we not obey? There are things, the Bible says, when idolatry shows up, flee. When adultery shows up or sexual immorality, it says get out of town. Well, if we don't get out of town, or if we don't get away from the occult, it said don't even look into that demonology, that stuff the world does, occultic stuff and voodoo. Don't even look into it. Don't read a book about it.
If you do, you're doing exactly what Adam and Eve did. God said, stay away from that tree. And they said, we're going to go eat it anyway. If you read stuff about the occult and stuff about soothsaying and witches, you are doing the same thing Adam and Eve did. It ain't no wonder you're messed up. And if you don't flee when God says flee, it's no wonder you're messed up. If you don't flee when God says flee, you're doing the same thing Adam and Eve did in the garden. God said, I got one tree. Most theologians believe there were 10 trees they could eat from, and that was the tithe. God said, stay away from one tree. I'll give you the rest. Who are we? Especially us Christians. God gives us everything, and that's not enough? You know, that's what he told David. When David done his stuff, he said, David, I built you a house. I gave you a kingdom. And you know what the Lord said to David? He said, if that had not been enough, I'd have gave you more. Why? How have I shortchanged you, David? That's basically what God was saying. How have I shortchanged? You think about your life. Here we sit today, praising the Lord under his word, being ministered to, hearing his spirit talk to us. How good has he been to us? How good has he been to us? To take single this little small church and to give us three prophetic words before this hit. How good is God to us? How good is he to us? We ought to give him everything we have. He ought to have everything we have. Your challenge and my challenge is a soulish one. Your soul's going to be involved in your decision making. So you better clean him up. I'll say that again. Your soul's going to be involved in your decision. And when I say clean him up, most people in this culture think about sex and addiction. No, I'm talking about fear. I'm talking about doubt. I'm talking about unbelief. You better clean him up. Is it possible for somebody to read? I read a psalm this morning that ministered to me. Is it possible for me to hang my faith on that and get something out of it and somebody else just read it as history and not get? Yeah. The people who live by faith get more out of God. I'm going to go ahead and say it. I've been trying to hold off from that for the last 3 months. The people that trust God more get more from him. That's how it works. But you know what? He's not a respecter of persons. Whosoever will, he said. The more you try. And that's what we're all at different parts in our journey. But what I'm pleading with people to say here is grow. Take this time and grow and get closer and take his word in more. Hang your body on it more. Hang your body on it more. Let's keep running. Somebody's got to be in front and somebody's got to be in back and somebody's all in the middle. But let's all keep running the same direction. Let's keep growing in our faith. We're all in this race together. And God put me here to treat you like athletes, to push you, to go beyond your limits. If I hadn't had a coach that said, keep doing it, I may have never went, may have never played ball, or had my education paid for if I hadn't had a coach that said there. I had a coach in the sixth grade standing right in my face, spitting on me. Good thing the virus wasn't around then. We need another one. We need another one. I'm like, you've done had too many already. You can take that any way you want. but thank God for coaches that pushed us beyond our limits. Now listen, I'm not near as mean as I sound sometimes up here in the pool. I'm a nice guy. But I want you all to grow because I know and you know what's coming to this world. It'll be way worse than what we're seeing right now. We got to grow. We got to grow. I don't care where you're at in the pack. Just stay in the pack and keep running forward. Like the old timer used to say, when you fall, fall forward. You guys can come to the instruments. I'm going to thank all of you all for joining us today that are around the world by way of a live feed on YouTube or catching our podcast. We're thankful for all of you. It's encouraging to us to know that so many people are getting the word. And we love you and we enjoy hearing from you. I've been hearing from some of you by way of letters and different things, and we're thankful for that. We'll be live here at 7:05 on Wednesdays, 10:35-ish on Sunday mornings as we do more worship. That could change, but we'll be live from now on. You'll be able to catch us, and we appreciate the feedback. And we're still trying to find a platform where we can communicate with all of you from around the world.
and send you things by way of a text. So as we get to that point, we're learning and growing through all this, and so we're thankful. We're thankful for all of you, church folks, some that have come back, some that are, everybody's in a different situation. Some people are more at risk than others. So we just welcome you when you feel released to come back. And the Lord's still doing great things here, and so we're thankful for that. Thankful for all of you, really, that have, many of you have kept supporting us. And out of sight and out of mind, you know, that. And I know churches that are struggling. Two of our missionaries that we helped this month, we're so thankful because some churches had already cut their support off. So I'm thankful to you all for being faithful. Those of you that really been, because we've been able to maintain and go forward. So we thank all of you all for joining today, and we'll see you this coming week.